Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hello and welcome to IMP's AEW Adventures podcast on the Social Suplex Podcast Network. Help the network out by leaving us a 5-star review, give a donation directly through Red Circle, and become one of the amazing community by joining the Social Suplex Discord. Link is in the description. Order merch from all our shows over at chopped-tees.com. Thank you to Dickie. Read the Social Suplex newsletter. Shout out to Trish and Tim as always, and to every person who's contributed so far. Listen to the other top-notch shows here on the Social Suplex Podcast Network. One Nation Radio, Keeping It Strong Style, All Things Elite, Wrestling Art with Chris Things, Trish and Sarah, Tuller Talk, and Sam Brown's AEW Match Guide. My name is Matt Mayer, aka Imp. It is your quick look back at the AEW week that was. 30 minutes of a more character building, down to earth, nothing crazy. no big foreign pay-per-view, no big Emmy award-winning actor doing hardcore matches. This is as nice and normal as it's going to get. I feel like out of all the type of content I'm going to be covering whilst I'm doing this AEW show, this might be one of the closest to normal weeks we're going to get. Two shows live again from the 2300 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And I realise the first segment I'm going to be talking about a guy from my city getting into a body bag and being dragged through a parking lot. I am aware of that when I say this might be the most normal week I'm going to be doing. But compared to how the past few weeks have been, this felt more like finding the standard and kind of like hitting the groove in a really good way. I feel like I'm just very positive about AEW right now. I don't know how much of it is that honeymoon period of going from talking about WWE where I'm just complaining every week to genuinely being positive about what I'm seeing in AEW. There's a few negative notes, but they're not that big. Like any negative notes, they're not that big a deal. It's things like, I wasn't as into a match as I thought it was going to be. And that's like the most negative I've got so far. Maybe over the course of time when I discover my language for how I want to talk about AEW. But anyway, let's not waste any time. This is going to be a much chiller week. If you didn't listen to my show whilst I was doing the WWE side, there were some weeks where it was just you got delivered a 25-minute episode. Like, hey, I put the work in. I make sure my recordings are mostly 50 minutes to an hour. Pay-per-view weeks, I completely fail on that. I always go over an hour. But like, it's not adding anything, these tangents to try and stretch it out. Just cut it all out. So anyway, let's jump on over to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania once again. Gabe Kidd and Darby Allin.
This dump ain't big enough for you to be hiding in the rafters. Where are you? Where are you?
Started off AEW Dynamite with nothing up, nothing up, nothing up. This dump ain't big enough for you to jump from the rafters. So where are you? A big old Batman brawl to kick off the show. On commentary, really made me laugh, the line of Gabe Kidd, he's used to the streets of Nottingham, England. He's used to fighting. He's used to scrapping. And I'm like, yeah, you get the same impression from me, right? Yeah, you get that same impression. Like, I'm also from the streets of Nottingham. You get the same vibe. You hear my voice and, oh, you think a tough guy, Gabe Kidd. Oh, we're the same. You should try, but Darby's thumbtack skateboard made quick work of him. That's when the rest of the Death Riders came out in their white shirts and donning their mean mugs. Hook out as everyone's vigilante once again. This was the moment I realised his new theme isn't exactly one you can pop to in reaction. The word coming out was that this was Hook's decision to change his theme to this. It's not one that you pop to. You go, oh yeah, it's Hook. But it's not like the other one where it had that impact to it, which a lot of wrestling themes do need. This one is more, it unravels that it's Hook rather than Hook. It's more like Hook. This is not. You're not going to get the same kind of cheer. For all I know, that's kind of the point. I don't know where this character's going. The ops ran out past him to renew that little story, and Willow joined in to clobber Shafir too. But back to Darby and Gabe, boarding in the parking lot with kids swinging a hammer at Darby, and then commentary going, what is on that rag that he's putting someone out? I don't know, could be some kind of chemical substance. Americans tell me, why can't he just say chloroform? Why are they dancing around the word? Is there something I've missed? Was there a big headline or something? Why is it like some kind of mystical chemical-y thing. That's the kind of language I pick up because I'm just used to it from WWE. What is that? Oh my god, it looks like some kind of hammer. Being one of the most famous ones. If you don't know the segment, a guy pulled out a big hammer and they're like, oh my god, it's some kind of hammer. Yeah, a hammer. It's a hammer. Not some kind of hammer. It is a hammer. It's some kind of mysterious chemical substance. Like, can you not say chloroform? Is there something I don't know? It was a scientist, I mean. Why are they being so awkward about it? I don't know. The wee crazy kid zipped my mean streets compatriot up in a body bag and drove him down the lot. One shot as well, meaning there wasn't like any cut or anything for Gabe Kid to not be in that body bag. The only thing I think of is they did something underneath the body bag or in the body bag just to make it a bit more comfortable, but it's still going to suck. I don't think there's any world where that stunt doesn't suck. To be fair, you talk to a lot of stuntmen. Yeah, I don't know how common this is for normal people. A lot of the time it is bracing for gonna suck. I amp up and I do it. Obviously it's practiced quite a bit, but it's like getting brave enough to just do it a lot of the time. I guess that's kind of how the stuntmen get their kind of they must be crazy kind of moniker, because they can amp themselves up to just do it. take the bump. Later on, Samoa Joe and Hobbs had a chin wag with Hook outside. Tonight wasn't about you, but down the road we're gonna have your back whenever you want it or not. Just being really adult about the whole thing, where it somewhat paints Hobb as this petulant child a little bit, because he's the one who's turned up with this gripe, with this hissy fit, and Samoa Joe's been such an adult about it. I mean, like, you got injured, we had a title shot, and I made the decision, we're going to take it, according Hobbs. We don't have anything against you, but that's what happened. And yes, that meant you got pushed out when you came back or whatever, but that's the decision I've made. If you need help, we will be there for you. Just really adult about it, which is really nice to see. The type of writing I'm just happy to see in my wrestling, because it'd be very, very easy just to build an animosity from this and do like a really blatant heel turn for Hook. However, this feels like actual characters in a very adult way sorting out their gripe, even if it does paint Hook as a little bit of a petulant there. But as long as he learns from this, we'll say in AEW at the moment, it feels like there's a lot of good dads. So this is from Samoa Joe to John Moxley. There's some very strong dad vibes in AEW right now. TBS Championship, Mercedes Moné versus Alex Windsor. I'm surely not surprising anyone by saying this was good, right? Of course this was good. Windsor targeted Moné's knee with a few Windsors so she could do more damage, locking in the Windsor. Boston sucks from the Philly faithful. As I was having a lovely time, I didn't realise I was in an ad break till the TBS Championship graphic came on and Excalibur did the jabber. Sign of a good AW match, but I'm so invested, I genuinely didn't notice. Really smooth switch from the sharp Windsor into Moné's statement maker. A counter bomb later and now announcer man Justin announced the 10 minutes remained. Here we go. We're time dancing again. Let's do the time dance again. Mercedes damaged from the shooter submission, staying locked in even after rolling onto the outside. Then Windsor's dive was caught so damn nicely into another statement maker attempt. This is awesome as we neared our final five. Statement maker right in the center. The first crawl rolled back from. The second roll halting was also halted into a cheeky pin attempt. But Moné rolled up Windsor right after and the champion just survived in a title defense again, managing to sneak that three in a quick pin, which was the same story at Forbidden Door. After the match being a disrespectful champion, giving Windsor the finger, but it was the Norwich lass who jumped and paid for it. Moné with the statement maker and Rio, of all people, made the ECW arena return. The ratings dominator all foes run from, stomped from the top and held up Mercedes Championship with glee. And the match was officially announced for All Out. It was like, oh yeah, whatever issues has been up with her. The AEW haven't said anything, whether it was injury or visa related or whatever, but it's been quite a long time. Whatever reason, it's been ages since seeing Rio, and her just turning up, getting a title match is almost par for the course in a good way. Because it's so good at getting you invested in her matches, and this is in a period where Mercedes Moné is just starting to be a bit wobbly. Really, for me, she's the perfect kind of challenge to have right now, because you just want somebody else to be another title match so that you can keep creating that feeling of Mercedes just holding on to the title. Whilst beforehand, she was winning matches previously, whilst now she's just escaping roll-ups. So, you know, why not in quick succession just do another one? It doesn't matter if it's got the most crazy build or whatever. I feel like this is absolutely fine. I have got a few backstage bits for Dynamite. I did it for Collision last week. I tested it. I did quite like it, where I just put all of the backstage bits into one segment rather than in the flow of the show, so we kind of get through those and I can just talk about the matches. So, the dickhead Ricochet was confident in his jabber with the GOA by his side as he demanded the Hurt Syndicate meet them in Toronto. Later on, MVP spoke for the Syndicate as they accepted backstage with a few words about hanging around with Ricochet, how that's just going to land them as a punchline, so maybe you shouldn't associate with him. MVP looks forward to lacing up his boots in Toronto and teaming up with Lashley and Benjamin. I guess another way to, you're going to give the Hurt Syndicate a loss. But MVP in there, he'll take the pin. Tony Storm admitting to being the craziest bitch, but she wants challenges to step up for her to wrestle and judge. We'll follow on with that on Collision. And finally, Chris Statlander and Harley Cameron were asked ordinary questions by Moné, but met every time by quirky wrath responses. Something else which also then fed into Collision. Well, speaking of segments that fed into Collision, Mark Briscoe versus? Unsurprisingly, he and his brother were fans of ECW AEW growing up? Like, no. No. Watching them, Ring of Honor work, you've had no idea. In the here and now, his focus is on the TNT Championship. When talking about Don Callis, someone attempted a he's a penis chant that just immediately died of death. But hey, in this smaller arena, those flubs are broadcast loud and clear worldwide. I heard you. I heard you. But which foe has Don chosen for the Kentucky fella to face for Collision? With Fletcher and Alexander already booked in the All-Star tag, with Rocky and Archer beside him, Konosuke Takeshita. I was genuinely surprised that it got a reaction out of me, because I was like, who's it going to be? He's like, oh, I don't know, it's probably going to be like a Lance Archer, because they're going to tease it's Rocky, but it's going to be Lance Archer. Then they brought out Takeshita. I was like, oh, okay, I immediately give a shit. Not only that, they've suddenly got the main event for Collision as well. Like, a huge deal. But he wants a match here and now. Oh, okay, this is the moment. So I predicted it for like for the Briscoe match into Collision. Not really reading that if this got a whole segment on Dynamite to build up a Collision match, it's probably going to be a bit bigger than Lance Archer. I was like, yeah, you know, I should have read that. Rocky was all amped up to face Mark Briscoe right now, but Callis had a perfectly good Lance Archer right there. Mark Briscoe versus Lance Archer, ringside steps on their side resulted in a bad time for Briscoe. Big Archer got to launch the ladder about before the man got himself amped up and charging about. Sunset Flip powerbomb kicked out of, but no rest for Briscoe as he immediately popped back up and climbed up to fly with the Froggy Bow for the win. Collision was the true focus, but Mark Briscoe's so over Philly were more than happy to watch him dance twice, and the second time for twice as long. He got main event spot, main event Briscoe. AEW World Tag Team Championship, Brody Dido versus Claudio Castagnoli and Wheeler Yuta. Philly loves watching Yuta get beaten up. Also, Bandido and Castagnoli, yes please, please sir, give me some more. Shafir stops the Ring of Honor champion from firing, with the numbers game working against the goodies as Mox ran Brody into the ring post. After breaking up a near fall, Brody was then sighted up by Mox again when Darby Allin returned to jump the man he's been calling out for All Out. 21-plex suplex Yuta and Bandido scored the win to a lovely old pop as Philly got to cheer Wheeler Yuta getting pinned. And boy did they cheer. Onto Adam Copeland and Christian Cage. It's brawl time, I guess, in this feud. That's just where we're at the moment. I feel like in AEW, they're not normally as bad with this, but there's something about the Philly shows which does feel like, I'm going to carry the heat over to All Out, but it's we've done it all. So I'm just going to keep igniting brawls until we get there. At least it's not happening in the main events stuff. Like, we're not getting these heated brawls or whatever all the time in the main event. It's more, we're getting a full-on beatdown in the main event, like a statement-made type of situation compared to, like, trying to do a heated brawl. But we got quite a few here. Kofi Cope got jumped before Christian could even join him out there. Dax and Cash just ignited the brawl for Christian to eventually join them. Dax somehow took a cut on the forehead as the crowd chanted, "That's our father." Ring of Honor locker room babies helped security separate two teams. FDR in the ring and hitting a stuffed pile driver on a tall child. The lad who teamed with JD Drake on Collision. I've written his name down in the Collision notes. I don't remember his name. When I wrote these notes here for Dynamite, I put a whole bit about, I don't remember his name. I'm not looking it up. I'm not Trish and Sarah. On that level of research of what a guy's name is. Oh, that's not my, that's too much research. That's too much. Anyway, that lad tried to jump Dax and Cash. After the break, Stokely had words for Adam and Christian before Dax and Cash ran off on that young lad and told him to find a partner for Collision, which he did, and we'll talk about it later. Stokely told the kid to skip because he had something to say, but then the segment just ended, so on we go. Fuck you, Stokely. On to the next bit. And on to the main event. All-star 8-man tag, Hangman Page, Kenny Omega, and Jet Speed versus Kyle Fletcher, Josh Alexander, and the Young Bucks. These have just been so much fun. They just fit AEW's current vibe so well. And the amount of stories they build up is so effective. Matt and Nick's bit for this week was them doing $20 meet and greets in a bar. And I don't know if I like Mike Bailey meeting crowd high fives with his feet. As a group, how do we feel about that? How do we feel? But yes, as I was saying, just a whole ton of fun. I always enjoy these AEW party matches and the current ability to just run hype and dance with all these all-star tags like once per show. It's really something I just want to applaud. Loud cowboy shit every time Hanger's tagged in to do anything. A perfect opportunity to give us Kyle Fletcher dancing with him. Even if it was for a short while with Kenny and Alexander getting involved before not too long. I found out why on Collision. The benefit of an all-star tag, you can just get this current versus future without either of them having to take a loss or find a way to avoid one. Josh Alexander scored two wins last week, this time dancing with Mike Bailey again. Poor Canadian driving his own knees onto the apron. And just an amazing sequence with Tall Joshua setting to powerbomb Bailey, both stood on the barricade. Kevin Knight from the corner to the outside just dove, sent Alexander out onto the front row. Nick and Bailey kick fight up on the barricade before two Meltzer drivers, one inside and one outside the ring, descend us into a white hot ad break. fake. It's one of those things where it's like, two have been set up, which one is he going to do? He's going to be like a fake out, and then he does the other. Nah, just does both back to back, and then the crowd go crazy for it. Big cheer for Fletcher and Omega getting the hot tags and just striking at each other with a string of fast counters. Just a flash before the Bucks tag back in to give us the Elite stare down with hangers tagged into a loud holy shit before the four of them just started lamping to the tune of the Elite. Another amazing little sequence with the Jacksons dodging the Buckshot only for their own attempt to catch the other, and the last one standing just spit hit with a spinning clothesline. This is awesome, chanted loudly as Excalibur started plugging the All Out card. Crazy finish with Brett's Rogue Reverse Rana igniting into a Young Bucks flurry, and Tall Joshua and Champion Kyle flowed into a brainbuster victory. That's three wins for the Don Callis family in this Philly stay. Another brawl ignited after the match. Rocky Romero and Lance Archer joined in on beating Hangman and Omega. A big old nasty brainbuster onto a chair to Page, and a mighty brainbuster through a ringside table for Kenny. Just, that bump is mental. You sick fuck, chanted as the medical staff checked on Kenny. Even though Fletcher was the one bleeding all down his back. Just ignore it. It's not part of the script. Sell the neck, Kenny. Sell the neck. You gotta go to the Tokyo Games show. Get injured. Sell that neck. Yeah, and Kenny taken out for a little while. But it does give all of that heat towards Kyle Fletcher, and on Collision we felt it as we set up what is going to happen at All Out. So we'll jump on over. Also, this is the like quick little note that AEW, in response to WWE doing their Wrestlepalooza show directly as competition on All Out, AEW did what they did for All In and moved the time. Last time this happened, it was a massive net loss really for WWE. Well, the whole point is to chip away at an AEW number rather than to full on put AEW shows like down and out of business. So it's the whole point is to chip away so the company doesn't have money.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply, in-app only.
As much value when they go for the next renewal. However, it seems to be having the negative effect. And Warner Brothers are very happy with these numbers. Anyway, let's jump on over to Collision. Also live from the 2300. And we once again start with Jon Moxley versus Daniel Garcia. This time with a bit of fire.
Physical matchup to open up. Over the ropes he goes. Moxley. Oh, no. Try to sleeper roll through. One, two. No. Moxley, one.
I do realise that when I say with a bit of fire, I do have to clarify with AEW. I have to make the clarification. No, I mean metaphorical fire. I mean like emotional fire from within. No, it's fighting. I'm talking about fighting spirit. I'm not talking about an actual fire table bump or anything like that. Garcia really had something to prove against Papa Mox, who appears to be in a recruitment drive. Speaking of drives, we got a spike pile driver during the ad break. Like, what's that doing here during the ad break? Well, it worked perfectly in assuring Garcia's spike pile driver when on air got the biggest reaction. It was a huge reaction when he does it on the show, but if you didn't see the ad break, it's like, yeah, because it was also a revenge spot, and that just gave it even more juice for the ECW arena reaction. Daniel got to run that determination, unknown if he's proving it to himself or Mox or both, then kicked out over and over when Mox got back into final flow control. The bulldog choke wasn't even locked in that long before Garcia had switched things around into his own dragon tamer submission. This is awesome, will be chanted multiple times this show, but here the first, whilst invested in the post submission rise, I really am still in that honeymoon phase of talking about such a different kind of wrestling audience. Like, this is when this is awesome chant gets chanted. Like, after a tense submission exchange, this then both rise to their feet. That's when they get it. Both men suplex spill to the outside with a Fight Forever ringing out in the 2300, amped up and back into the ring, head to head for a strike exchange. Garcia flowing on Mox's level, successfully rising up, but once again lost to a snap roll up. Post match, grumpy Garcia just pushed Daddy Menard off with a fuck off before Schiavone interviewed the man. You're going to say, what an incredible performance. Garcia angry and frustrated that this has been the story for the last 5 years with nothing to show for it. And it's been a good 5 years, but sometimes good isn't enough. I do really like how they're slow burning this Garcia frustration, making whatever happens next totally earned. Like, blatant route number one, he joins the Death Riders, and you got a Yuta who hates Daniel Garcia, so I like that kind of animosity. And either their relationship dynamic changes, but then gets someone he really likes in Chris Statlander. Or, as far as we know, they're choosing between one of them in Daniel Garcia and Chris Statlander. Or Mox is going for Garcia, but Yuta's like, but there's a perfectly good Chris Statlander over here as well, and I actually like Chris Statlander in spite of everything. It's the fact that it's all happening through interaction action rather than any motivation statement just means we really don't know what's going on here. The closest we get to a motivation statement is a frustrated Garcia here, but he never just stands there and goes, I'm angry and frustrated. He directs it at something or through something. But for all I know, this is not even like notes worth of criticism for like most viewers. But for me, from the world I've come from, seeing this and I'm watching a frustration bubble up and I'm not getting any just motivation statement writing or scripting. I'm getting actual characters interacting with each other like it's, I'm in that honeymoon period. Gonna keep saying it. And onto the backstage bits, a lot more here on Collision. As I was saying last week, I'm noticing pretty quickly that you get a lot more of these backstage little bits on Collision. Even though I called it the wrestling show, it's also the backstage segment show. it's a different blend. The first one, quite a big one. Big Bill saying that Philly was the town he hit rock bottom in way back when. But ever since that night, he's been in AEW building an amazing run. But he comes from a place where real tough guys are made. New York City. And he brought up another New York loudmouth and officially called out Eddie Kingston to a really loud reaction from the crowd. They built up to it. He did the normal wrestling promo flow, making it pretty obvious who's going to say. But it felt strange still hearing the name because it's been so long. And for it to happen just in a backstage promo where you go, is he building up to Eddie Kingston? And he was building up to Eddie Kingston. It's like, oh, oh shit. John Moxley in the parking lot with a great little solo promo, making the point that everyone's saying that he has what they want, but he doesn't have anything that everyone else doesn't already have. Except for the match with Darby at All Out, promising to put the man in the ground because we're getting a coffin match. it's a Darby Allin coffin match. I hear coffin match, I think immediately 90s Undertaker goofy nonsense. I think of that shit. But Darby Allin has started to make them their own, and they are very different beasts under Darby Allin. This will be your show's There Will Be Blood match. Neither of these lads are getting out unscathed. Ace Austin got a wee VTR play. He's always got an ace up his sleeve. Not a saying, being literal. Not using it as a metaphor for the wrestling things. Like, I've always got a trick. I've always got that extra card. I've literally got a card up my sleeve. Quite literally. Juice Robinson and Austin Gunn without JY and Colton. They've got to figure out what to do. I said previously that Juice Robinson's going all serious, but he's surrounded by silly. And that seemed to get addressed this week with Juice telling Austin, these cardboard cutouts, they've got to go. Like, we can't be doing this goofy shit whilst they're not here or whilst they're going to be gone for a while. Like, we have to make something for ourselves. It obviously got booed because AEW fans love the goofy shit. Mercedes Moné with an iPhone promo. Hey, she might be on Android, let's not judge. She announced she'll be teaming with Emi Sakura in a tag match against Windsor and Rio on Dynamite. Evil Holograms update coming soon. But it did transition into Kyle going, oh my god. Just very goofy, over-the-top reaction to cloning technology. It's just, last week I said, this hologram thing is utter bollocks and I'm so on board. I'm so on board for whatever bollocks this ends up being. So is Kyle O'Reilly. I'm going to be selling it too hard. You know, I feel like goofy Kyle. It's just because I lived through cool Kyle. If you didn't experience cool Kyle down in NXT, then you won't understand why goofy Kyle is actually absolutely fine. I'm absolutely okay with goofy Kyle. But goofy Kyle, Roderick Strong, Big Tom, and the Good Twin, interviewed by Alexi in the parking lot. Ishii is going back to Japan for a bit, and Roddy would be happy if he never came back. Just openly calling him Potato Head. It's like, come on. I know last week I didn't give him a kind nickname. I can't remember which one I said, but there is also the wrestling fridge with legs, which I can't remember if I came up with that years ago writing about New Japan or if I got that off somebody on Twitter. There are so many great nicknames for Tomohiro Ishii. And Roddy can now use all of them as insults if he's read any article by somebody covering New Japan. The wrestling potato, the wrestling fridge with legs, the no neck Big Tom. Anthony Bowens also interviewed by Lexi in the parking lot. Anthony bragging about all the good work he's doing, all the appearances he's making, when ECW legend Jerry Lynn told him to look in the mirror because something's missing. And he seemed to actually take it to heart. FDR versus Adam Priest and Dynamite Kid Tommy Billington. Adam Priest is the name of the lad, which I will not remember even after this. It's like, maybe eventually it'll make an impression on me. Tommy Billington returning from a shoulder injury with his ironically royalty-free Royal Britannia. Adam Priest with a prove yourself with an angry Dax and Cash with a kid to incite to. The young'uns got their moment to shine off of FDR overconfidence, growing into the match and drawing more than one near fall. A double headbutt a la your former Dynamite Kid, scoring the closest of the lot. Speaking of doubles, FDR hit two bloody lovely Germans in stereo before two pile drivers got rolled up into two pins. The power and the glory splashed for the win and the booze. After the bell attacked the younglings before Stokely delivered his message to Adam and Christian. 2 weeks in Toronto, 2 weeks till we see the end of C and C. And the other segment I said I'd get back to, the All-Star 8 Women Tag, Harley Cameron, Chris Statlander, Mina Shirakawa, and Tony Storm versus Megan Bain, Tekla, Sky Blue, and Julia Hart. No Ford with all the extra lasses banned from ringside. A point made that Bain is 10-0 on Collision. Before the bell, Wheeler Yuta jumped onto the apron to chat tactics at Stat before making a point of leaving. Totally innocent, of course, but of course it led to Tekla making the jump on a slightly distracted Tony Storm at the bell. Wheeler Yuta still getting that reason to boo, even when he didn't really do anything. Holly and Chris showed off their tag team chemistry a tad after Storm and Shirakawa did the same. We then got Mina and Statlander, but the baddies cut them off before they could do the obviously OP Cameron and Shirakawa pairing. Like, that's smart. You just don't want to face it. Don't risk it. Let's go Mina after the break as Pervy Philly's favourite fought off both Hot and Blue. But also that meant we got hyped into the Tony Storm hot run clobbers and suplexes. Mina got to fly, Statlander and Harley got to do some inventive tag fun, but Big Bane was there to stop it and send us into everyone charging in and getting a chance to clobber. This is awesome. For the third match this show, after Harley and Sky danced till they were both down, Statlander a great base for Hart to spin around and trap as well. And I was talking about it last week with the wrestlers starting to learn about the way that they're countering each other. The reverse Rana counter on Stat countered again into a faceplant for poor Julia. The finish, a Statlander seatbelt pin, which is Wheeler Yuta's move. Nigel McGuinness making sure to definitely say that out loud as well, very clearly, so we all understood it. Great way to progress what's been happening between her and the Death Riders. But what did Wheeler Yuta whisper to Chris Statlander? Immediately the commentators were just explaining that really well. That this is what we're doing. Seatbelt pin. Oh, is that what Wheeler Yuta said? He gave her some actual advice and then she ended up actually taking it. After the match, the Triangle of Madness struck again and took everyone out. No save with the friends all banned from ringside, but 70s Jamie Hayter ran out to make the save. Well, more get her own back on Tekla. Hayter and Storm with not the most friendly of histories as the crowd chanted hook it out. Tony Storm grabbed the mic, challenging all three of Statler, Hayter and Tekla for all out. So tape up your tits and let's tango as the music started to play. Tony Storm, you know, doing it in the most normal way as always. Cal Fletcher and Don Callis's promo. Full suit wanker, out looking all important for his manager's dastardly dribble. He got fitted for that suit. Daddy Don, proud of his boy, both beating Hammond and Kenny, as well as Fletcher taking out Omega with that brainbuster through the table. As I said, just a lot of good dads. A lot of good dad energy right now. Told Joshua brought up how Hangman was his debut opponent in AW, and next week will be his do-over. Champion Kyle got put some socks on as he jabbered about Takeshita, taking Mark Briscoe down a peg and positioning himself as the all-out challenger for Hangman's AEW championship. Yes, please. Even though All Out, I remember that first year, it almost felt like a weird ripple effect from All In when those shows were too close together. And last year, it was another ripple effect one where we ended up getting Swerve and Hangman. All really strong ripple effects. I will say that. But it's interesting to see that there was Forbidden Door show and still this feels like a ripple effect show. But even though it's been a longer amount of time, there's a collaborative pay-per-view in between, which was a good little palate cleanser. It's still a ripple effect show, which I do find interesting. And the main event, Konosuke Takeshita versus Mark Briscoe. Main event, Mark Kentucky dancing with the G1 climax winner. What a sentence to read out loud. And by dance, I mean taking a DDT on the ringside mat. For most of the flow, whenever Briscoe got amped, Takeshita snapped in like lightning to ground him again. Blue Thunder Bomb, a big old tope dive to the outside. The Don Callis man was constantly there on Mark Briscoe. The crowd did the Ring of Honor man up clap chant at the beloved chicken farmer as he fought back at the most fertile man in Delaware, called Nigel on commentary, remarking on the man having his 9th child. Poor woman. 9th child. Philly so amped for the Froggy Bow, but the flight was met by knees. The crazy Kentucky fellow took one high toss German landing, only to immediately pop back up and hit a suplex of his own. Jay Driller teased, but instead sat down on and lifted over with that amazing high angle wheelbarrow German, as Nigel called it. I don't know if Takeshita has a name for it. The near fall received one hell of a pop and a huge applauding from the crowd. In the end, Don Callis up on the apron when a surprise newlywed pushed Mark Briscoe off the top and Konosuke Takeshita took advantage to snap his rival's TNT shot away from him. After the match, Takeshita, not happy with MJF jumping Briscoe after the bell. That tip allowed Briscoe to recover enough to jump Friedman. Going off air, the two were held apart by security. MJF grabs the mic. You name the time, the place, the match, the stipulation, because it won't matter. Your ass is mine. And Mark Briscoe in his only his more Mark Briscoe ways. Boy, you done messed up. Mark chooses All Out, but we'll get back to him on stipulation. Like, we've got a couple of weeks of television to fill. We don't need to do it right now. Like, you're going to go on your honeymoon, and that means you're not going to be there, so why not just hold off and give Mark Briscoe a reason to do a promo instead of continuing the heat? You can use that to announce the thing. Like, excitement without Maxwell being there. It's good writing knowing one of them won't be there. It's good stuff. It's fine. Allow him to have his honeymoon. Don't be a dick of a boss. Allow him to have that. Even though he turned up for work the day after his wedding, he still did that. Just let him, and then Briscoe can carry it. It's fine. He's a unique individual, but he can do it. He can do it. But that was this week of AW. As I said, this is the closest we'll get to normal. It feels like AEW has found their standard, and this week kind of just was doing that standard, and I still really enjoy myself, still had a great time. I'm still all in on these all-star tags. They also work really well at just rotating talent, especially as it means somebody who is in the shuffle of a multi-man, suddenly when they're in a singles match, that's a huge deal, like Takeshita as well. Just Takeshita being in a main event singles match suddenly felt like a huge deal. So I just currently have so many positives around AEW that any minus ones don't really affect my enjoyment at all right now. Sure, maybe that is my own honeymoon period, but as it stands, just having a great time covering AEW as we go into All Out. And I am personally thankful they've moved the time early. I know that it has messed over quite a few people, you know, who have made flight plans already or hotel plans or whatever, and suddenly this show's going to start like way earlier. I understand that really does genuinely affect a lot of people, and it's cost them quite a bit of money, so that sucks. However, for me personally, if I make it all about me, if I'm allowed to make it all about me, it's great because I don't have to then try and figure out how am I going to do this recording and watch All Out and edit it and get it out by the end of a Monday when I've got a life. So for me personally, if AEW just started doing their shows around that time as normal anyway, I'm all grand for it. All grand for it. Perfectly happy boy. Anyway, thank you for listening, liking, engaging in any way, any manner. Always appreciated. Never take it for granted. I'll be back this time next week to talk about more Dynamite and Collision. At some point, I will find a next part to put as an outro, but for now, I kind of have to gloss over and say, I will be back this time next week to talk about this thing that we all love in AEW. So with that, I bid you adieu. Adios. I swear these outro segments will get less awkward as I find out what I want to say. But it's not happened yet. So anyway, with that, I bid you adieu. Ta-ra.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply, in-app only.